I was listening to the Saturday Night CMS, and Neely was pretty bummed out about Robbie Knievel.
Yeah.
As was I. I actually hung out with Robbie Knievel.
Yeah, tell that story, dude. I did not know this.
Yeah, you know, you guys were talking about how he got in some accident with his motorhome.
Yeah.
I partied with him in that motorhome. Nice. I don't know if it happened the same day, that accident, but it sounds like it was around that time period.
Now, where did he live? I don't know nothing about him.
I think he did live in Vegas, to be honest. I think he did, but this didn't occur. I think we were somewhere like South Dakota or something like that.
Okay.
And he had his mobile home out there, his trailer. Sure. And next thing I knew, he was going to like MC the show, and we were hanging out. As you can see behind me, I got the Evel Knievel.
With the big white wind-up crank on it. Hell yes.
That's right. Now, you also see up here Ideal.
Yes.
Okay. My Uncle Eddie Cafiro worked for Ideal in the 1970s. Oh, no
kidding. Look at that.
I got all the cool shit. I got all the Evel Knievels. They even had a bad guy, Evel Knievel, called the Midnight Marauder. And I remember he was like, here you go, Eric. This one isn't even out yet. This one's a bad guy called the Midnight Marauder.
Midnight Marauder.
I'm pretty sure I remember that. And he was all in black. But yes, as you can see for the kids at home, this was a wind-up Evel Knievel. I recently saw Zach Wilde playing with this fucking thing, and it was hilarious. He made a video where he had all this goofy stuff set up to jump.
And okay.
He had his Evel Knievel out, and Zach jumped the Evel Knievel, and it was hilarious. but I remember as a kid, I was still pretty young when this thing came out. I wasn't too good at zipping it. My mom has a funny story where the whole family was watching me try to play it. And I couldn't, the thing kept tipping over, and I was like, son of a bitch. And I thought that was funny, because my mom cussed all the time. So as a little kid, I cussed too.
Right.
So flash forward, we're playing this event, and I'm hanging out with a legend, Robbie Knievel.
Sure.
You know, his dad was obviously the more well-known.
The legend. Yeah.
The legend.
Mm-hmm.
But Robbie actually did all of his dad's jumps, did the jumps even his dad didn't pull off. And so Robbie is a legend too. And I'm glad that he dedicated his life to keeping
the name,
that
going.
Uniform going, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, dude, right? And the weirdest thing is that there, you know, Neely and I did this, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, maybe a year, might've been 2 years because COVID time, but there was a guy during the pandemic at some point that did one of the jumps, like he's like a stunt guy now. And that's me. Believe me when I tell you, the way I'm telling you this kind of tells the story, because I have no idea who the guy is. I don't remember his name. He made the jump, but I know even like Neely watched it. Like it's a weird thing with Evel Knievel. He was a big mainstay on Wide World of Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday for Wide World of Sports, that was me and my dad's thing together. We would watch that. We would watch James Green, the boxer that was also locked up in prison. You know, we would watch that guy. They would take the cameras into the prison to watch him fight guys and stuff. It was crazy.
Whoa.
But Wide World of Sports, the intro to that show was all you wanted to see, because you watch the sports hoping for the crash.
In the agony of defeat.
That's what you wanted. You wanted every skier to fall. You wanted every jumper to fucking break their stick and fall on their back.
Dude, Evel Knievel crashes at, was it Caesar's Palace?
Yeah, yeah.
We got to show a couple of these, man. I don't know. You should look up a few while we're talking about
right
it.
Now.
Cool. He looks like a toy. He's flopping around.
He looks like a Stretch Armstrong hitting the street.
The best agony of defeat I remember from the 70s was the skiing one. It was some high jump ski that the guy, you see him lose the ski and you know it ain't going to end good. And
looking that, right now,
yeah, they'd take a pounding. I don't know when worldwide sports ended.
Yeah, I don't probably in the '80s at some point, but I mean it was always horrible when these guys wiped out.
So with Robbie, you know, it was, you know, you would think this was kind of a biker convention, biker fest thing going on. And I wish I rode my motorcycles, but I don't. And I wish I could have talked to him about motorcycles, you know, but the only thing I had to talk about was toys. That's funny. Toy, right? So I was like, hey man, yeah, I had your dad's I always put the wrong finger. I had your dad's toy, you know, and you rewind it. And then he kind of tripped me out for a second because he was like, oh yeah, because that's funny because a lot of people say that, you know, because I did the winding thing. He goes, a lot of people say they do the push thing.
Right.
And I go, shit, is that what the thing did? And I was like, is he going to think I'm full of shit? But it was this. It was a, maybe you do at the end push it to make it go. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. You probably had to push some kind of a release so that the tires could start turning, you know, or start, you know, because something had to engage the little motorcycle to make it go.
Unless you got it to a certain speed and it just took off. But yeah, I think that maybe it did have something like that. But I mean, I certainly remembered the
oh yeah.
And they had other toys too. I mean, they tried to sell the Snake River rocket.
Yeah. That wasn't as good. Although I will admit, I had the motorcycle guy like you have behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him off the motorcycle and I taped him to one of those rockets that you filled with water and you pumped with air.
Oh yeah.
And I used to shoot him around the yard. I would just pump it up and I used to pretend that my yard was the Snake River Canyon. And meanwhile, I just had Evel Knievel taped to it. And I did. Psh, 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 and
I remember those rockets though. I was allowed to have the water one. I wanted a real rocket. My friends in the '70s had pretty cool rockets. Some kids on the block, one of the rockets like takes a picture when it gets to a certain height. But the funniest thing is you notice like in society, people always reference rocket scientists. They're like, oh, it ain't rocket science. And I always like think back, oh man, we were making rockets when we were like nine.
Oh yeah. Dude, let me just tell you one of my horrible stories. I was always like on the way to getting burned because I was always playing with fire and shit. It's not surprising that I ended up in a horrific burn accident because I really was playing with fire all the time. But one of the first things I did was I stole a bottle of my dad's Brut by Fabergé. Remember that shit?
Oh, yeah.
And it used to come in a green plastic bottle. So you know it was quality then because it came in a green plastic bottle. So I remember I took this Brut by Fabergé and I cut the bottom, like I stuck a pinhole in the bottom of it and I stuck a string in it and I lit it and I wedged it in like a V spot on a tree just to see what would happen if it would blow up or something. And so I lit it and this thing there was, what do you call it? Cologne dripping down the string. Chris. And you, what happened?
I don't know. It looked like we both got booted for a second.
Yeah, maybe we're not supposed to tell these horror stories, I guess. I don't know.
Like Brut by Fabergé is all, oh, no, you don't, guys.
Yeah, stop it.
So wait, no, you go, let's back up here. All so right. What year is this?
76, 77, 78, somewhere in there. I was a kid.
Okay.
I was a little kid.
So you have Brut by Fabergé, the green stinky bottle.
Yes.
You stick it in a tree and you're trying to blow it up with what weapon? What are you using?
I just put a piece of string in the bottom of it. I like drilled like a nail hole or something in the bottom and I stuck a string in it and the Brut was dripping down the string.
Okay.
So then I lit the string expecting it to go up to, you know, the fire to go up into the bottle and blow it up.
Sure.
It didn't blow it up. It shot this shit like a rocket. I don't know why, but it just was all of a sudden like, and boom, it took off and it fucking lit the tree on fire. Because
it was, story, Chris.
Because it was spraying the shit all over the place. I was like, what the fuck?
You know, my cat just bit me really hard.
Good. That's what you get for having a cat.
We used to make bombs and stuff too as little kids, and it's funny to hear you say that. Times have really changed, haven't they?
Yeah.
My friends, we were the young, we had a couple of like 5, 6, 7 year olds, and then a couple of like 9, 10, 11 year olds. The 5, 6, and 7 year olds were in charge of making the fuse. So we had to go through our garages and find stuff that we could make a fuse for the pipe bombs. We decided we were going to go build and blow up in the woods.
Sure.
In New Jersey. So we basically took, you know, every chemical we could find in our parents' garage and just basically did a whole, you know, R&D project, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What burns the fastest? What's, you know. And it was so fucking dangerous looking back on it. The stupid shit we would do.
Dude, we in the town I grew up in, there was a little strip mall, but it was like the hub of the town. It was a little tiny fucking town. And behind it at that time, there was no development. It was just woods. So me and my friends, we had our little tree, you know, like we had a tree and we had found a, I don't know, like a bucket seat from an old truck or something. And we built ourselves a fort, but it wasn't like, it wasn't in the wood or like in the tree. It was like next to a tree or something. It was on the ground. And that was where we used to hide all our Playboys, was underneath the bench thing that we found, the bucket seat. And, right. You know, that was just what we would do. And then there were other cliques of kids, and they all had their little tree forts, too. And, right. You know, spread out in this one area of woods. And that was like a thing, was we used to go and we used to raid each other's forts and steal everybody's nudie magazines, because everybody had their nudie magazines.
I told
you
about, there was an older kid, and I told the story on one other episode where I said a kid in the woods had showed me my first pornographic magazine, which is pretty little concerning. But I forgot to say his name. His name was Burp.
Burp?
Burp. And Burp could burp the whole alphabet. That was his thing. He was like,
what a skill.
Like, yeah, but and he had showed me that kids close your ears, but the magazine was called X-rated shaved and then the P word.
Nice.
On there, and it was disgusting and I was horrified, and it was the first time I saw.
How old were you?
Oh my God, I was probably only like 6. Yeah. 6 or 7, and I was just kind of horrified at what I was looking like. It looked like I was staring down the throat of somebody's mouth close up, but it was something else, and it had a little dangly thing there, and I was like, what is that, are tonsils?
Yeah, like, when you were young, when I was young, none of it looked attractive to me.
No,
pussy looked gross. Even worse were cock, even titties at that point. I was like,
oh, I've always loved titties.
I don't know.
Chase girls in the woods and squeeze. We used to, you know, like
it,
I said,
it wasn't until I put my hands on some that I started to appreciate them. Honestly, it wasn't until then. I still remember that girl's name. That girl's name was Christy Keg. And
Keg.
Yeah, K-E-G-G. And she had big old tits for
a fucking... you tap the keg, Chris?
Well, I don't know if I should say that or not. I think she might be a Facebook friend. So,
okay.
But yes.
Good man.
But yeah, no, I, it was just one of those, you know, things with the porn that was kind of in that time. And maybe you were different. Maybe you're the same. In that time, I don't think we even thought about it as porn. We just thought of it as something we weren't allowed to have.
Yeah.
It really wasn't like, oh man, I gotta see this. This girl's got double D's, or, you know, there was none of that going on at 10 years old. At 10 years old, it was like, hey man, I stole this from my dad's drawer, man. How cool is that?
You know? It was cool. But I remember wanting whatever we could get our hands on, even if it was like a deck of cards with nudie girls on it. Or, one, I had an uncle.
The pens that you could turn over and the bikini would fall off.
Totally. Like, okay, that'll do. I remember I had an uncle we visit sometimes. I knew he had like a Playboy stash. So I'd act like I was playing on the floor. Then I would like sneak over there.
Right.
Try to get a peek at those. I was notorious for like looking at the scrambled porn channel on TV in the 80s. You know, it was like for a second it would like you could see something. It was like, I saw titty, and then we go back to.
I just remember, dude, you're bringing up awful memories for me. What I remember is the cable box that we had. It was this brown box. It had these push button channels, I guess you would call them. And there was only about 15 channels total.
Right.
And the last three were the ones that you had. They were like the, what did they call that at that time? It wasn't pay-per-view. It was closed caption channels. Or I think it was something like that, closed caption, or it was not called pay-per-view. It had another name.
Okay.
And I just remember I would, on the side of that, it had like an adjuster thing in case your video wasn't like centered in your TV. And I just remember we would put it on the scramble channel, and then we would fuck with the adjuster thing, trying to see a tit, just like you. Yeah. Just trying. And I still remember the first movie I ever saw a tit in, that I remember seeing a tit in, was the movie Barbarella. Remember that movie?
That was great.
You know, and there's a scene, she's like comes across like a screen or something, like
she's floating across, right?
Yeah, and she's topless or whatever. And I just remember I'm like, just for one second we could see her like clear enough to see her boob, and we were like, oh man, that's great. And it went squiggly again, and I'm like, I'm working that thing like I word my own dick, you know. I'm like, I gotta get it back.
we got bush.
Exactly. I was trying so hard to get this stupid tit back on screen. God, we were stupid.
Yeah, it was goofy, but kids nowadays, well, there's no effort involved at all.
No, there's really not.
Yeah.
Dude, they don't even have to buy their device to watch their porn. That's the worst part. You know, even the device, like, dude, when you were a kid, did you ever have somebody that got their hands on like an 8mm movie?
Okay. I'm just going to say my friend's dad.
Okay.
He had an 8mm. He had the reel to reel shit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And he had a couple movies. He had an old, like, kind of Godzilla movie called The Claw.
Okay.
Like, about this bird.
Right.
And then he had another one that was, like, some dirty movie on there. But it was funny because we had to, like, put the reels on the thing to watch it. And it was silent film. And that thing, you know, you could get in trouble if they caught you, because that's a lot of shit you had to break down. You know what I mean? If you're watching, going through your parents' shit. And then later, you know, the dads had the VHS
collection. Oh yeah, well then it was easier. Then once it got to VHS, then it was easier to get porn. But when we were little, there was no getting porn. You would see it in a magazine or something, and
a magazine in the woods.
Yeah, and man, if somebody had a video, I can remember, dude. We had this video. This is so stupid. I can't believe I'm thinking of this dumb shit. We had a video, and it probably wasn't a minute and a half long. It was one of them little reels about that big, you know, just a little small little reel, right? And we sat on this thing. We would hold it up to the sun, trying to see the pictures in the film. You know, we would try that, and then we tried everything. We're doing it with magnifying glasses so that we could see it better. And, you know, we would do all this stupid shit. And I remember one year I was up in Rhode Island at my grandparents' house, and my grandfather had me helping him clean out his garage. And he was throwing away an old 8mm projector.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, Grandpa, you got to let me have that. I need it for school.
Yeah.
And he
agreed, show and tell.
And he agreed and gave it to me. And that's actually how I ended up getting caught with this fucking video. I never got to watch the video, because as soon as my dad saw that I had such interest in an 8mm projector, he was like, where's the video? And I was like, what are you talking about, Dad? He's like, I know you have pornographic material. Where is it? And I ended up having to give it to him. I had to give him the tape. I never, or the reel. I never watched it, But my dad was playing fucking Inspector Gadget and figured it out just from me wanting.
He had to have been in a similar situation himself, because that was more his childhood technology, right? I mean,
well, I wish he was here to ask, because there's a part of me that thinks maybe he had his own reels.
That's right. He's like, finally, I could go and relive my old porn childhood.
And maybe he wanted the projector. I mean, it could have been that he might have wanted the projector so he could watch his own porn.
Because you could have had it for something else, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he knew right away.